بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرًا ونذيرًا بين يدي الساعة من يطع الله والرسول فقد رشد ومن يعصهما فإنه لا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئًا. All praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him and we thank Him. We plead His assistance and we beseech Him for His forgiveness, and we seek His guidance. We take refuge in Allah from the evil of our souls and from our wicked deeds. Whomsoever Allah guides, there is none to mislead him, and whomsoever Allah misleads, there is none to guide him. And I bear witness that there is no God except Allah, and that Muhammad is his servant and messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whom he sent with the truth as a giver of glad tidings and a warner before the final hour of judgment. Whoever obeys Allah and his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then he has been rightly guided. And whosoever disobeys Allah and his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then he harms no one but himself, and he does not harm Allah in the least. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidun Majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidun Majid. Respected brothers and sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The title of this talk is A Changed Individual, A Transformed Ummah. As has been mentioned time and time again, the theme of this conference is Islamic civilization. And I was requested to say something about individual change, the need to change on an individual basis. And inshallah, that's what I will hopefully be focusing on in the next half an hour or so. All of us expect change, we request change, and we demand change. We demand change from so many other people and in so many other situations. We are very accustomed to calling for and demanding change on a grand and global level. We want our governments to change. We want the political map of the world to change. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. As I was saying, we want the whole world to change. We want our leaders to change, our governments to change. We want the world map to be changed. We want our family members to change. We want our spouses to change. The husband wants the wife to change, the wife the husband. We want our elder generation to change. We want our younger generation to change. We want leaders in our community to change. We want everybody to change. And we are so accustomed to calling for change in every sphere of life, in every field, in every discipline, from every single person. But in this clamor of desiring change, we sometimes forget that we need to change ourselves. We are forever complaining, and I address myself first. I am not saying this in a judgmental, pontificating manner. I address myself first. We are always complaining about the plight and the pathetic situation of the Ummah. We complain of the excesses and the injustices of our leaders. We complain of corruption in others. And often in doing so, we forget ourselves. Whereas Islam teaches us, we can learn from the Quran and the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that although it is correct and justified to request, to require, to demand, and to expect change from our environment, our surroundings, and others who are with us, our priority should be in changing ourselves first, realizing that if we as individuals change, then inshallah there is hope for us to have a positive influence on those around us, both people as well as our surroundings, and therefore influence change in a positive way. We complain of the ummah, the plight of the ummah, we complain of the corruption of the people. And yet we should realize that the ummah is not a special entity. The ummah is just a collection of individuals. The collective character of the ummah is defined and determined by the character of the individuals within. If the people are corrupt, the ummah will be corrupt. If the people are pious and good, then inshallah the collective reflection of the ummah will also be good. And we learn from the Quran and the hadith that Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam have always emphasized change on the lower individual level before anybody else. When Allah sent the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the message of Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed him to warn his family first before anybody else. Allah tells him in the Quran, وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ وَخْفِذْ جَنَاحَكَ لِمَنِ اتَّبَعَكَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, that, O Prophet of Allah, warn your closest family members first and lower your wing in humility for those of the believers who follow you. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was commanded that for the rest of the believers, lower yourself before them, lower your wing before them, be humble towards them, and as for your family, warn them first. Thus the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gathered his own family members and addressed them collectively and individually, and addressing his daughter Fatima radiyallahu anha and his auntie Safiya radiyallahu anha, he said to both of them, Ya Safiya bint Abd al-Muttalib, salini amma shi'ti fa inni la ughni anki min Allah shay'a. Ya Fatima bint Muhammad, salini amma shi'ti fa inni la ughni anki min Allah shay'a. O Safiya, daughter of Abd al-Muttalib, ask me for whatever you want, i.e. of this dunya, for I will not be able to avail you of anything with Allah. O Fatima, daughter of Muhammad, ask me of what you wish here now, for I will not be able to avail you of Allah, with Allah of anything. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed the believers and the believing women with the command of hijab, Allah azza wa jal told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as is mentioned in Surah Al-Ahzab, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ قُلْ لِأَزْوَاجِكَ وَبَنَاتِكَ وَنِسَاءِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يُذْنِينَ عَلَيْهِنَّ مِنْ جَلَابِيبِهِنَّ. O Prophet of Allah, instruct your wives and your daughters and then the believing women of the believers. So even with the law of hijab, Allah began with the daughters and the wives of the Holy Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, instructing him that your preaching and your teaching and your commands and instruction for good begin at home with yourself and with your immediate family. With us it's the same. In Surah At-Tahrim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. O believers, protect yourselves and your families from the fire of hell. Throughout the Quran and in the ahadith, we learn that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has emphasized, and Allah himself has emphasized, the importance and the need to change individually and to begin change at home and within oneself before instructing others, before preaching to others, before expecting and demanding change in others. Often in our demand for the change in others, we are very judgmental. We speak about the corruption, We speak about the plight of the Ummah. We are always lamenting the pathetic and the plightful situation of the Ummah. Yet, we forget ourselves. In a hadith related by Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhi in his Sahih, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِذَا سَمِعْتُمُ الرَّجُلَ يَقُولُ هَلَكَ النَّاسِ فَهُوَ أَهْلَكُهُمْ. When you hear a man saying that people have perished, people have been destroyed, then know that he is the most perished of them all. He is the one who has perished more than anybody. He is the one who is destroyed more than anybody else. And in the narration of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal in his Musnad of the same hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, when a man says that halak al-nas, people have perished, i.e. we complain that look at the state of the ummah, look at the state of the people, such waywardness, such sinfulness, such corruption, such mischief, such deviation. Then when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, when a man speaks in this manner, Yaqulullah innahu halik, Allah himself says, he is the one who is perished, he is the one who is destroyed. We are very judgmental. And in our being judgmental, we forget the need to look at ourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابِ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. What do you instruct people to righteousness and you forget yourselves? Even though you recite the book, do you not understand? Just as charity begins at home, change also begins at home with the individual. Imam Abu Dawood al-Tayalisi rahmatullahi alayhi relates a hadith from Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, in which he says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, Ya Abdullah, ibda' bi nafsik fa'adiha wa jahidha. O Abdullah, begin with your own soul, begin with your own nafs. Thus, make an enemy of your soul and struggle and strive and battle against your own soul. Before anybody else, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma in this hadith, O Abdullah, begin with your own nafs, begin with yourself. Make an enemy of your own soul and battle against your own soul. And the same Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, once somebody approached him and asked him about jihad. So Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma said to him, about jihad, ibda' bi nafsik, fajahidha waghzuha, that you ask me about jihad, begin with your own soul, wage a war against your own soul and lead an attack against it. So Allah tells us in the Quran, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informs us in the ahadith, that although it is right and justified to demand and, well, to expect change in others, we should realize that change comes from within first with ourselves. If we are good and pious, then inshallah, through that character and its influence, we may be able to affect others and introduce change in our surroundings and in those who are in our company. Once Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu, after Persia was conquered, and the Muslim armies acquired great spoils of war and booty, the treasures, the fabled and the famed and legendary treasures of Persia, fell into the hands of the Muslims. The personal robes and personal jewelry and personal treasure of Khosrow were brought and presented to Amir al-Mu'mineen Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu, and Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu anhu was there. So Amir al-Mu'mineen Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu, seeing these treasures before him, he marveled at the honesty and integrity and the incorruptible nature of his followers. And he said to Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu, that indeed those people who have faithfully brought these treasures to me without taking of them, without stealing from them, without pilfering them, they are a people of integrity, honesty, and they are trustworthy. He commended them on their incorruptible, trustworthy nature. So Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu mentioned only one sentence. He said to Amir al-Mu'mineen Umar ibn al-Khattab, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, afafta fa'affat ra'iyatuk. O Amir al-Mu'mineen, you were incorruptible, you were pure, and thus your subjects were also pure. Their incorruptible nature, their honesty and integrity, their trustworthiness are all merely a reflection of your own character, O Amir al-Mu'mineen. This story just illustrates that it just takes one individual. Of course, those who are leaders may have a more far-reaching and a more profound influence than others. But leaders and laity alike, men and women alike, husbands and wives alike, parents and children alike, individuals and the ummah collectively alike, we are all responsible for changing ourselves and realizing that our individual character, good for good and bad for bad, can affect others around us and influence them either positively or negatively. We wish to see change, let us change ourselves. Let us emphasize this change in us and then also expect and request change from others. But we cannot expect others to change whilst we remain the way we are without changing, without transforming ourselves, without remodeling ourselves and reforming ourselves. A poet says, لَا تَنْهَ عَنْ خُلُقٍ وَتَأْتِي مِثْلَهُ عَارٌ عَلَيْكَ إِذَا فَعَلْتَ عَظِيمٌ إِبْدَأْ بِنَفْسِكَ فَانْهَهَا عَنْ غَيِّهَا فَإِنْ انْتَهَتْ عَنْهُ فَأَنْتَ حَكِيمٌ فَهُنَاكَ يُقْبَلُ إِنْ وَعَظْتَ وَيُقْتَدَى بِالْقَوْلِ مِنْكَ وَيَنْفَعُ التَّعْلِيمُ. The poet says, do not prevent others from certain deeds whilst you are guilty of them yourself. This is a great blemish on you if you do this. Rather, begin with yourself and rein in your nafs from its transgression and prevent your nafs and your soul from its transgression. If you achieve this, then you are the wise one. Only then, if you preach to others, will your words be listened to. And only then will others follow you when you preach to them. And your teaching will benefit anyone. So we must begin with ourselves. As Allah says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu in suratul saf. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu lima taquluna ma la tafa'aloon. Kabura maqtan inda Allahi an taqulu ma la tafa'aloon. O believers, why do you say that which you do not do? It is a thing of great anger with Allah that you say that which you do not do. And this, although people commonly believe that these verses are about scholars and preachers and leaders, to some degree, yes, but not necessarily entirely. Why? We all have a certain amount of knowledge regarding Islam. We all have sufficient knowledge to be informed and aware of what is haram and what is halal. An alim who knows that backbiting is haram, and a lay person who knows that backbiting is haram, in the knowledge of the prohibition of backbiting, both of them are equal. The scholar may be well versed in the intricate and complex intricacies of the verses of the Quran and the ahadith, but in this particular aspect, their knowledge of the prohibition of backbiting, for example, just as an instance, is equal. Therefore, their responsibility is also equal. There is no greater responsibility and burden upon the scholar regarding the prohibition of backbiting than on the layperson, when both of them equally and to the same measure know of its haram nature and its forbidden and prohibited nature. Therefore, as far as the sin of backbiting is concerned, both of them are alim. Both of them are scholars. Both of them have an equal responsibility. So a lot of these verses would speak about preaching to others yet being guilty of the same, teaching others yet being guilty of the same. To some degree they are for the ulama and for the preachers, but in a great measure they are equally applicable to everybody. We all preach to others. We all teach others. We all expect change. We all mumble and grumble about others. We all lament the plight of the Muslims. We all complain about the corruption of others. Yet in our complaining of the corruption of others, this is what Allah reminds us. That do you instruct others to piety and yet you forget yourselves? Even though you recite the book, do you not understand? Why is it, O believers, why do you say that which you do not do? It is a thing of great anger with Allah that you say that which you do not do. So we should realize that change begins at home. Change begins with ourselves. And before we clamor for a grand and global change in the whole ummah, before we seek a resurgence of Islamic civilization, as we like to call it, before we see the renaissance of Islam as we wish to see it, then we should remember that we have to effect change in ourselves before anybody else, in our own families. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again addressing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, instructs him to himself and his family, وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. Allah says, O Prophet of Allah, instruct your family to prayer and remain steadfast upon it. Before anybody else, you begin with yourself. In a hadith, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, مُرُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ بِالصَّلَاةِ بِالسَّبْعِ وَضْرِبُوهُمْ عَلَيْهَا بِعَشْرِ. That instruct your children when they are 7 years of age regarding salah, and discipline them, if need be, by hitting them when they reach the age of 10 regarding salah. So before anybody else, Allah instructs the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, even when it comes to the simple act of prayer, O Prophet of Allah, وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْتَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. You instruct your family and tell them, you instruct your family and remain steadfast upon prayer. When it comes to hijab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ قُلْ لِأَزْوَاجِكَ وَبَنَاتِكَ وَنِسَاءِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. O Prophet of Allah, you instruct your wives and your daughters and the women of the believers. The women of the believers came at the end, came last. When it came to giving preference to the life of the hereafter over the worldly life and choosing the obedience of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and their way over all other ways, again Allah instructed the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before anybody else. In Surah Al-Ahzab, Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ قُلْ لِأَزْوَاجِكَ إِن كُنْتُنَّ تُرِدْنَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَزِينَتَهَا فَتَعَالَيْنَ أُمَتِّعْكُنَّ وَأُسَرِّحْكُنَّ صَرَاحًا جَمِيلًا وَإِن كُنْتُنَّ تُرِدْنَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَالدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ Allah says, O Prophet of Allah, say to your wives that if you seek Allah and His Messenger, say to your wives that if you seek the worldly life and its beauty and its glitter, then come, I shall give you some wealth and then I shall release you in a good way. But if you seek Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the abode of the hereafter, then know that Allah has prepared for those amongst you who do good an immense reward. Whether it was hijab or whether it was the choice of the way of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over all other ways, or whether it was the laws of hijab or the choice of the hereafter over the worldly life, Allah, or whether it was salah and prayer, Allah commanded the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to instruct, to teach, and to discipline, and to change his own family before anybody else. In a hadith related by Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, once Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam awoke at night, and then he said, أيقظوا صواحب الحجر. Wake up the women of the chambers, i.e. his own wives. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam related a very long hadith in which he speaks about the impending disaster upon the Muslim ummah, the impending fitna that will come and embroil everybody in itself. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about future calamities and the impending disaster upon the ummah and the need for people to change and to prepare themselves in every way, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed his family first. He awoke himself and instructed whoever he did instruct to wake up his wives, to arouse his wives before anybody else. Whether it was to do with the individual laws of prayer and dress, or whether it was to do with the overall spirit and philosophy of Islam, of choosing Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over everything and everybody else, and the life of the hereafter over this worldly life, Allah instructed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to change himself and his immediate family before anybody else. And this is exactly what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us to do also. It's sad. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, "Waqfid janahaka liman ittaba'aka min al-mu'minin." You lower your wing of humility for the followers amongst the believers. And as far as his family was concerned, warn your closest family members first. We do the complete opposite. With ourselves and with our families, we look for excuses. We justify our behavior. We are compassionate and merciful, lenient and accommodating and very understanding. We give leeway to ourselves and our family members. But when it comes to, we are not judgmental and we are very, very understanding. We make 1,001 excuses for ourselves and our immediate family members regarding any situation. But when it comes to others, we are quick to pounce on them, to condemn them, to judge them, and to victimize them. Whereas it should be the opposite. We should discipline our family members and ourselves in the manner that Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have taught us. We should instruct ourselves and preach to our own family before anybody else. We should be concerned, as Allah says in Surah Al-Tahrim, قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. Protect yourselves and your families from the fire. Some of the companions said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam upon the revelation of this verse of Surah Al-Tahrim, Ya Rasulullah, we can prevent ourselves from sin. But how do we prevent our families? How do you protect our families from the fire of hell? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you forbid them and prevent them from the disobedience of Allah, and you instruct them to do good. Amr bil ma'roof and nahi anil munkar. Instruction to good, enjoining the good and forbid the evil, begins with oneself and begins with one's family before anybody else. I end with one final hadith, we don't have time, in which the purpose of the hadith is to show that enjoining the good and forbidding the evil, many of us question that we enjoin the good and forbid the evil, there doesn't seem to be any change. One of the reasons is that if we continue to enjoin the good and forbid the evil in others, with others, but we forget ourselves, and we refuse to change ourselves, then there can be no change in the whole ummah. We will remain in the plightful situation we are in. It's a very long hadith related by Imam Abu Dawood rahmatullahi alayhi, Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullahi alayhi in their Sunan, from Abu Umayyah, who relates from Abu Tha'laba al-Khushani radiyallahu an, a companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said that I approached Abu Tha'laba al-Khushani and I said to him, O Abu Tha'laba, what do you make of this verse of the Quran in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu alaykum anfusakum la yadhurrukum man dhalla idha ihtadaytum. O believers, concern yourselves with yourselves and let not the deviation of those who are misguided harm you. It will not harm you. Does this mean, as some people understand, that we are not to enjoin the good and forbid the evil, but we are just to be concerned with ourselves? So Abu Thalaba radiyallahu anhu said, لَقَدْ سَأَلْتَ عَنْهَا بِخَبِيرٍ. Indeed, you have questioned one who is well versed in this verse regarding it. For I have heard the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself say, لا بل اتمروا بالمعروف وانهوا عن المنكر حتى إذا رأيتم شحا مطاعا وهوى متبعا ودنيا مؤثرة وعجاب كل ذي رأي برأيه فعليك بخاصة أمر نفسك ودع العوام. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no. You enjoin the good and you continue to forbid the evil. And you continue to do this until you see four traits amongst the people. Until you see the dunya being given preference over everything else. Until you see greed and avarice being followed. Until you see passions and desires being obeyed. And until you see every individual being obsessed with their own opinion. When you see these four traits, then you should concern yourself with yourself, i.e. there is no further need to enjoin the good and forbid the evil. You should concern yourself with yourself and leave the people. Why at that stage? Because when these traits set in the people, they will become so deeply entrenched and embedded that no amount of enjoining the good and forbidding the evil will actually change them. No matter how much people may practice amr bil ma'ruf and nahi anil munkar, they will not change them because these qualities have entrenched themselves in the characters of people. Such qualities that forbid any change, even if people continue to advise them, instruct them, command them, and plead with them. So we have to ensure that none of these things embed themselves and entrench themselves in our character, otherwise we will become blind, deaf and dumb to the guidance and the light of Allah. I end here reminding myself before anybody else and before anybody else, and I remind others also that just as Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Masood radiallahu anhu used to say, that famous companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to say, when you hear Allah say in the Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, fakun anta al-mukhatab. When you hear Allah say in the Quran, O believers, then you become the one who is being addressed. Think that Allah is addressing you and speaking to you personally and directly, and that this is concerning you before anybody else. So let us be concerned with ourselves before we expect and demand change from others. This is not to suggest that we should not continue to do amr bil ma'roof and nahi anil munkar. This is not to suggest that we shouldn't expect change in others around us and we shouldn't work towards that change. No, all of that is justified and valid, but in our attempt and endeavors to do so, let us not forget that individual change must begin with ourselves, and only then, inshallah, if we individually change as individuals, will we see that reflection of change in the ummah as a whole. May Allah make us amongst those who do change for the better and who can influence change in their surroundings and environment and in those who are in their company. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala abdihi wa rasulih nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.
Allahu akbar.